And that's what on Zion and Alice in the middle of the jungle. On the top of the Amud, the very top line, the Gemara quotes Amr Rabbi Yechon and Mishim Rabbi Yechon. The Amr Rabbi Yechon quotes something that he heard in the name of Rabbi Yechon. Then the Gemara continues, on the second wide line, the Gemara says again, the Amr Rabbi Yechon and Mishim Rabbi Yechon. Another thing Rabbi Yechon says in the name of Rabbi Yechon. Now we're continuing on that third member. The Amr Rabbi Yechon on, this is by the very wide line, is about the 15th line down. The Amr Rabbi Yechon and Mishim Rabbi Yechon, third member, speaking about giving terchach and giving musa to people. So sometimes the person has to give malchus. They have to beat a person up. Sometimes the malchus is a reinish mishava, and sometimes the malchus is as a form of musa shmuras, as a deterrent that he shouldn't do an avera in the future, to encourage him that he should understand why he should stop doing these averas.
That's not quite the most
situation, Mother. Yes, yeah. Right on me. So that's malchus matters, Allah has
right.
It's not a nine-ish Mishavah.
Malchus
Mishavah. Malchus Mishavah, yeah, the Pasuk says it is. Mikla Kechali Eina. First, the Gemara says in Malchus, Kima Shavacha, Arech Yatecha. But after the person gets the Malchus, now it's Pasha Leida. Because he did Shuvah. He doesn't, which is not. But if he did Shuvah, it says, that's made a Gemara Din, that this person made Kraz and was going to give him Malchus. Even if he does Shuvah now, he's still Pasha Leida until he gets the Malchus. But once he got the Malchus, it seems the Shuvah, then he becomes Pasha Leida. Because that's the Kima Shavacha, Arech Yatecha, that takes off the Shem Rosh. Kaporo. So he's always discussing what works best that a person should be nichna to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. So the Gemara says that sometimes malchus works, and sometimes the Bezer Shalmaila has to give malchus. The Gemara talks in Agadah, the Gemara talks about Shikin Tosa Yenura, that's 60 lashes of fire. The Bezer Shalmaila, when they give malchus, they only give Abonya Kedah, they give 40. Mishnah says it's not even 40, it's only 39. The Rambam says that why do you give 39 instead of 40? So the Rambam says that it's a Zerim of the Rabbanah, that if you, it says no Yeshu. You're not allowed to give more than 40, but Yeshu, my cousin, my parabah, lay, and equal chichli and ethic. You're not allowed to give more. But the Rambam claims that the reason why the Chachamim knocked it down from 40 to 39 is because even if the Shofet who's giving the Malkus will make a mistake and give an extra halakah, so it turned out that he gave 40. It turned out that he gave the right amount. But if he's going to give, he's going to say that he gave 40. And then he may give an extra one, so he will be in violation of the din of what he has to pay him. That's how the Rambam says. The other Shem learned that it's not that. The other Shem learned Pasha Pshat in Mishnah, that the Mishnah Makis Darshan from the Pesukim, that you don't give 40 times once. Even though it says Avon Yakenu, the word before Avon is, once you have to explain the Shas to be this part, period. Avon Yakenu v'layayitim. So the Mishnah Darshan from Makis, they reshot the Nisra Avon Yakenu. The Nisra Avon means the next Avon, means 39. So the other Rishonim learned that it's a real din d'oraisa. It's nothing. And I tell you the din is that you give 40, and it's a Zerim d'Avon that you give 39. But the purposes of this Gemara, the some of the Farshim on the Anyankit say that according to the Rambam, that this fits in better. The Hemshech of this Gemara. That the Bezer Shalmata, when they want to give Malkus, sometimes they give 40 Malkus. Avon Yakenu. And the Bezer Shalmaila, when they want to give Malkus, the Gemara talks in different Agadahs about cheap people from the Nura, about 60 lashes of a fiery whip. So the 40 with the 60 together is 100. That's what Gemara talks over here, perhaps about 100 times Malkus. So Rabbi Yechon says in the name of Rabbi Yesi, Ta'ifo mar desachas beliva shalazam geyesi mikam malkiyot. We give malchus sometimes, the Bezer Shamata gives malchus, and a lot of times the suffering that the person has because of what Bezer Shamata gives him, or because of what Bezer Shamata gives him, doesn't straighten him out. And the person realizes on his own, when he thinks that he realizes on his own, that he did something wrong, and that he's suffering because of the fact that he did an avera, that will cause him to be nishma. Shenema b'rizkos miyahaveha, the pasuk is describing the way the woman was married, and then she was mizana with all kinds of boyfriends, and then she thought that the boyfriend's going to give her a better time than her own husband. And then later on she realizes that she better go back to her original husband. So this was the marshal that the Navi Hashir said with respect to the Nehi Shofa. They were originally living with the Rabbani Shalom, giving him kultu. And then they thought that they want a little bit more lebedic, a little more exotic. So they worshipped Rabbi Dizar, and they did Averis on the side. And they thought that it's going to be better off living with the Zul. But the other Rabbi Dizar is rather with the Rabban Shlomo. And after a while they realized that the Averis didn't pay. And they would have been better off if they would have stayed all along with the Rabban Shlomo with the first husband. So that's what the Navi describes in Mitzvah as Miahaveh. She runs around with all the Nerfim, and then she sees, she thinks that in the time, then she sees Novgorod and Yomro. Finally, she comes to the realization, Erkel B'Yashuva Alishi Halishin, she totally odd me over. It was better for me then than now. So the passage is describing the way all of the Onshim that you threw in, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam caused and made sort of stuff, and nothing helped, that they should, when you give, when you punish a person, a lot of times that doesn't help by an older person. Younger children, it works. But by older people, you insult the person, you scream, that doesn't work. But when the person thinks on his own, he realizes on his own that he fell in, that he made a mistake, so that will accomplish more, that the person should be listening than all of the out, than all of the outside hakos. But Rabbi Yechanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi Jaws, my disciples believe the Shalom, when the person realizes that that he did Averis and he didn't get anywhere with the Averis, that accomplishes more for Satan than that, Mikana Malkiah, more than a lot of times Malkiah, doesn't know how many times Malkiah. The Shlokish, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, that time Yosef and Meir Malkiah, it's sometimes even better than 100 Malkiah. So that's the Talmud question today. What do you have on the number of 100? What is it correspond to? The 40 Malkiah of Bezal, the 60 Malkiah of the Bezal Shalmai. Shenema, really, they're possibly about 100. Echaz Gora, the Mavin, Mehakrit Shil Meir. To accomplish more than hitting a Nar, hitting a Balavera 100 times, what will accomplish more than the person should be Nichna to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Echaz Gora, the Mavin. In a person's heart, if he realizes that he fell in, that he's not getting anywhere with his Averis, that will accomplish more than he should be close to the truth. The other Rabbi Yechon, Mishim Rabbi Yossi, a fourth member, name of Rabbi Yossi, Shlosh is one because Moshe is listening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu had three requests of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Natan Lo, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam granted all three of his requests. The first request was, Bikesh Shetish Shechina Yisrael. He requested from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give us Hashuas Hashchina. He granted him the Natan Lo. Shanaal Ma Ha'alot Belach Tuchayimon. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mashu Shechina. Even when we sin. Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, yes, he will. Dikesh, the second request, was Shalai Tishu Shechina Alu Masai Alav Nikachavim. The Natan Lo, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam granted that Shenema V'Nechlinu. Hatlaya means segregation, distinction. To distinguish between Bnei Yisrael and Yom Asylum, to V'Nechlinu Ani V'Yamecha, to separate. Right? Hit Moshe. But I am both a separation and distinguish that Yom Asylum don't have a Hashuah Tashkina. And the third request that he asked of Hashem was also granted Dikesh, namely the Hadiyah, the Rosh Hashanah Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to understand how does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam run the world. You see that Tzadik for Allah Rosh HaVekovah, he didn't understand how it worked. And this time, Rabbi Yossi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted that request also, and he did explain to Moshe Rabbeinu the whole Hanhoga. Moshe Rabbeinu was given to understand that of you. How do you know? Shenema, the third request was, he was going to dispute this point, whether this is correct or not, whether this is so. But the first time, Rabbi Yossi claims that was also granted. Dikesh, the third request was, Lahadiyah, the Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, the Nasan, Hashem granted that as well. Shenema, again, you know, it's a Rechechom. What was the request? I'm going to find the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, my Yesh Tzadik V'Tovah, Yesh Tzadik V'Ralo, Yesh Rosh Hashanah, Yesh Rosh V'Ralo. How come if there's only one God? Dikesh, Lame, if you all, that there's more than one God, it's starting with everything. One God is giving the Rosh riches and happiness and so on, and the other God is giving the Tzadik a hard time. But we believe that there's only one God, and that same God gave all the ethical principles, and all the moral principles, and all the religious laws, and everything, and that God has the full control of the whole world. So how come there are spirits? How come we have a Tzadik V'Ralo and Rosh Hashanah Kavlo? Doesn't seem to indicate that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not the full Balabos, that there's not a Balabos, or there's no other Balabos, that there are some things that he doesn't control. How come he lets things go completely, because it doesn't correspond to the sickness of the person? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked by Kodesh Baruch Hu. What are the Rosh Hashanah Kodesh Baruch Hu? Oh, my Lord, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam answered, Moshe, the answer is Poshe. Tzadik B'Tov Lo, the Tzadik Ben Tzadik. Tzadik V'Ra Lo, the Tzadik Ben Roshan. Roshan, the Gemara is going to think that with the end. But Rabbi Yosef the Kitzur said the Rebbeinu Shel Olam answered. He explained everything. Now, what was the explanation? So the first version is, the first version of the explanation that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave was, that if he's a Tzadik Ben Tzadik, then he's going to have to be a Tzadik B'Tov Lo. It's not shy that you should have a Tzadik who suffers if he's a Tzadik Ben Tzadik. And the only time it's Tzadik suffers is that Tzadik Ben Rosh. And what's with the Russia? So he says a Russia. Russia with Tavlo must be a Russia Ben Tzadik. He has Chusavis. So he says this Chusavis helps him that he doesn't suffer by Lamaze. And a Russia Barabba must be a Russia Ben Rosh. So the Kisra, the Yeti says that Rebbeinu Shel Olam did answer and that this was the answer. Greg, the Gemara, oh my, the answer doesn't make any sense. The quoting from that writer, that the answer was,
Tzadik mitzalom must be a tzadik then tzadik. Tzadik v'ralom has to be a tzadik then rosh. Say Gemara, it's not correct. You could have asked that kasha to see it. It's not correct. Gemara said kasha from a pasuk. Apparently a pasuk is stronger than it. I didn't really know that the fellow is tzadik. Maybe there is in that such a tzadik. But the pasuk describes correctly. Gemara. Yeah, let's say he knew the father, he knew him. But L'Chaira, it looks like he's a tzadik. Maybe he's not a tzadik. Maybe his father's not a tzadik. But the kasha is a pasuk. The pasuk says the Feirish. Right in the mark. But Haksir, Amy, it's not correct. That shot in the answer. Rav Yossi says that the Rav Yossi on the answer. That's right. The answer. The question is, though, what was the answer to Rav Yossi? Claims the answer was, Tariq Ben Tariq Tariq Ben Rosh. Tariq Ben Rosh. That cannot be the shot in the answer. I, Haksir, we have a theory between two psukim. One pasuk says, okay, Rabbi Navoy Talbonim, that the Rav Yossi punishes the children because of the avarice of their parents. Uchsiv, and the other pasuk says, not so, but I'm going to Allah, boy, that the children should not suffer because of the parents of Eris. The Ramin Al-Kuray Adodim, we had here the contradiction between these two psukim, the spirit. Only Shanin, only we gave a parrot. Apparently they had this tradition from early generations. Like Kashi, the territory to this apparent contradiction is, Hof Shal Tumat Tavis Sein Biyadeyem, Hof Kishen Hof Tumat Tavis Sein Biyadeyem. A tzaddik never suffers because of his parents of Eris. When the pasuk says, "Okay, avod avod alpanim," that the children suffer because of their parents, it's only if the child is a rosh on his own and he deserves to suffer. Maybe we got a rosh ben tzaddik, so because of school suffer, so we give him a break and we don't cause him to suffer so much. We'll punish him less because of school suffer. But if he's a rosh ben rosh, we don't give him any break. We give him the full moedish that he really deserves.
Why does it say it's when it says kardiyah tzaddik? So you think that's the
perfect opposite,
yes. Because
he had such
a father, such a grandfather, just do that.
Yeah, a lot of times you have an opposite consideration. If his father was such a tzaddik, he should have known much better. It would have been much easier for him to be a tzaddik, for him to be a Russian. He had to be Moshe Nefesh. So he deserved a greater punishment, right? I don't know. I guess somehow all the considerations blend in together. I don't know. There are a lot of contradictory considerations. So the Mark claims on principles. This is a matter of principles. That the Iker is like the pasuk born in the Yisrael, Allah voice. That the children are never punished for the avarice of their parents, but the other pasuk that says, okay, avoid my voice, I'll put in, is only if the children are rishoyim anyway. And they deserve an einish anyway. See, if there would be a rosh ben tzaddik, we wouldn't give them such a great einish sometimes. Sometimes we'll take this into consideration, that will lessen the einish. But if he's a rosh ben rosh, so there's no reason why we should lessen the einish, so we give the full einish. So you see, from this tradition that we have to enter the series of psukim, that the ikavart is, that children never suffer because of the avarice of their parents. So how can you say that a tzaddik v'tovlo and tzaddik v'ralo, the difference is that he's a tzaddik ben rasha, then it's actually a tzaddik v'ralo, then he'll suffer. It doesn't make any sense. A tzaddik, there's no reason in the world why he should suffer. Elazar the Gemara, no. What Rabbi Yossi said is correct, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that third request of Moshe Rabbeinu also, namely, you should teach him Dachi Hashem, how can he have tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ralo. But the answer is not the way we said before, tzadik ben tzadik, ala hachi kamalai. But the Rav Shlom answered Moshe Rabbeinu with a different answer, the haim of tzadik, the dogma means that he's a tzadik kamar. If he's a full-fledged tzadik, then it's not shakar, it should be tzadik viralo. If it's tzadik viralo, it's apparently a tzadik shayadom. And Rosh Hashanah told us, yeah, but Rosh who prospers in this world and he doesn't suffer must be either he's a Rosh Hashanah. But if it's a Rosh Hashanah, that must be a Rosh Hashanah. Also very schwer. You know from the Tzias that it doesn't correspond to reality, but the Gemara doesn't have any psukim. The Gemara doesn't have. The Gemara only said it's not so, and I have a pasuk for it. The Gemara doesn't have a pasuk, so they don't have. Very shleri Gemara. I'll call upon him. I don't know. It's not very shleri. The whole thing is a fellow. All of it is
evil.
The next month only the Gemara disagrees with
that. That was the echo of the same chotul. That was the same thing. That was the same problem.
Yes, so that the Gemara claims that Talmidim, that the children never suffer for the sins of their fathers unless they themselves go for
Glover. Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu
know that he couldn't get the full from the four steps? Apparently not. The question he asked all the time, that was the question. And the Yedin Arsene Kappa was this question. The question, that was the third question. Yes. The question is, right, the Machlekes Satanayim is whether the Rabbanish Wolf did answer him or didn't answer him. Rabbi Yehuda claims in the name of Rabbi Yossi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did answer him some kind of an answer or another. The both answers are unclear. Whether the answer was Tzadik Ben Tzadik, the answer was Tzadik Goma, Tzadik Sheni Goma. Each answer is difficult, but whatever it is, somehow the Rabbi Yehuda did answer.
Where does it say that you answered?
That's what Rabbi Yossi claims. Yossi claims, Moshe Tzvam Bikish Moshe Melechnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ve'Nasan Loi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does it say in the Pasuk? Yeah, it doesn't say in the Pasuk. No. He must have had a tradition. I don't know. He had a tradition that the Rebbeinu Shlomo answered all the three requests of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the other Tanaim say it's not true. That he didn't. The other Tanaim, Darshan took him to interpret that he was not answered on the third request.
The other two were Karshi, he didn't have a Pasuk, though.
How come what? That was later. I think the Tanami must have had many requests over the years. Just on this one occasion, he had three requests in Parshas Kisisa, only. And that Parshas had three requests. More requests.
You can answer me. What would have happened if he would have had
He wanted that the Jewish people should have a Hanhoga Nisus, that everything should be with Hashgacha Pratis Miyuchedis. It more says in Tainus in the first verse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specially watches over the Yisroel and Eretz Yisroel with the Hashgacha Pratis, Mufuretis, each person individually, and everything in Eretz Yisroel is very individually watched over. Yom HaSalem and the rest of the world is much less. There's more, the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more Hashgacha Pratis there is. The Rambam has a whole lot about this in the Mara Nebuchim, so he says the Tzaddik has much more Hashgacha Pratis than the Rasha. Sometimes it's L'Tavata Shalat Tzaddik, and sometimes it's not at all L'Tavata. Usually we assume it's L'Tavata Yishmar. Kadosh Baruch Hu watches the Tzaddik that even if other people will get hurt, if other people will suffer, the Tzaddik will not suffer. And sometimes it's just the reverse. Let's say the Tzaddik does an Aveira, but someone else would have done that Aveira, with the Mimim Kassid as an Aveira. So Shabbat did some kind of an Aveira, we don't know exactly what it is. There are times I've got this list of all the temp shotim, and I don't know if I call after all the temp shotim, we don't know what it was. What did he do here? He said, Shimon, I'm already, hit the rock, he said, what was the Aveira? Someone else would have done the Aveira, and someone wouldn't be correct until an Aveira at all. But Shabbat did it, so I've got his brother, the doctor, and the tzaddikah, the chutah. So when the tzaddik is more carefully scrutinized everything that he does, watch more carefully, it's bane the tzaddikah, or bein l'rah sometimes, and the further one is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's less Hashgacha Pratis. That's what the Rambam stresses in the Mordechai Rukhim, that the Hashgacha Pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha Pratis, but he doesn't exercise it on all people equally. Not that all people are created equally, but they're not all one is more equal than the other. That's not what I mean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, if he chose to, he could exercise Hashgacha Pratis and Mufuretis on each and every person to the same extent, but he doesn't. Karev Hashem, the whole Karev Rav, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is closer to those who are close to him. To those Tzaddikim who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he showers them with more Hashgacha Pratis than those who are closer to the Rav. And those who are further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives them less Hashgacha Pratis. And Moshe Rabbeinu requested at this time that the greatest Rosh from Klal Yisrael should have more Hashgacha Pratis than the greatest Tzaddik from Yom HaSalem. I don't know. There's a lot of bayonets. Then you have, I don't know, as a nation, as a whole, their cloud, they still have a stronger Hashgacha Pratis than the Yom
HaSalem.
Can you compare the Hashgacha Pratis in
the Nisan Madrus and Hashgacha Pratis? The Madrus and Hashgacha
Pratis? You're living here all the ages.
Abad? Is this Lord Dutan and Hashgacha Pratis? So the Gemara says that the Tana Rav Yaisi who claims that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted the third request of Moshe Rabbeinu is Fliga the Rav Meir. Rav Meir doesn't agree. The Amar Rav Meir, Shtai Nasna Lo, the Yachas Loi Nasna Lo. Only two of the three requests did HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant, and the third one he did not grant, Shnema V'Chanosi, as he quotes the Pasuk. And that Pasuk, the mayor claims, is the response to the third request. The third request was, Moshe Rabbeinu, also, how do you run your business here? How can you have a Tzaddik V'Rabba in Russia with Tovla? So the Baruch Hashem tells him, V'Chanosi Yesh HaShayrochon, Achol Pishay Lahavim, sometimes I'm kind, I'm benevolent to people who don't deserve, V'Yichamti Yesh HaShayrochon, and I have Rachmanos on people, Achol Pishay Lahavim, even though they don't deserve. In other words, he didn't answer the third question. He didn't explain to him how come you have a Rosh of the Tavlon who had enough. He didn't answer how come you have a Tzaddik v'Ralo. And the Rambam interprets in the Mor Nebuchim that that's what the next pasuk means also. Vayomer lo shulchan eretz lefanai. When Moshe Rabbeinu requested, he wanted to see the Pnei Hashem. That's the same thing he's saying. He wanted to understand the Daf Yashem. How did the Rebbeinu Shlomo run the world? The Rebbeinu Shlomo said, I'm not going to explain. I cannot explain. Lo shulchan eretz lefanai. He cannot explain.
that. What do you say that was?
Third year
Yes, the third request was not granted. Made a claim the third request was not granted. Tana, Mishmei, the Rebbe Shua Ben Levi.
What's the
Rai? He doesn't quote a Rai from the passage that the third one was granted. Apparently he had a tradition like that. And Rameir says not so, and he seems to have a passage that is the way he interprets it. Chanoz Yitzha Sharachon, Rameir interprets this passage to mean that the third request was not granted. The Daska was not granted. Well, Mishmei, the Rebbe Shua Ben Kaka, Bryce, it quotes, Kachom, Alei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. When I appeared to you in the snare, that's in the 6-7, in Parashas Shmos, our Kaddish Brother appeared, the Moshe Rabbeinu covered his face. So did he do the right thing or did he do the wrong thing? So this bright quote in the name of Rabbi Shimon Kofa that it was wrong. Kishe Ratisi, when I appeared to you, when I revealed myself to you, Lai Ratisa, you ran away, you covered your face. I asked Moshe Pano, Siyare, Mehabita, Ramakim, you were afraid. Achshav Shatar, right, so now that you say, I didn't know it's like that, but you want to see, so anyway, in other words, now it's a playing game. It's a punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing Moshe Rabbeinu because he did something wrong. What did he do that was wrong? So the Gemara flickered up Shmuel Bar Achmeini, and this member, this writer, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Makorcha, says that Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong. When he saw the burning bush and he realized that this was a Hashraat HaShchina, and he covered his face in order not to Yoreh Mehavit Avah Arakim because he didn't want to look at his fire. He saw that it was some divine fire. It wasn't consuming the bush. Normally a fire consumes, it was only get deep. And he just gave illumination and it wasn't burning. He realized that this is a Maris Arakim, so he didn't want to look. He did the Prophet Aracharis. Not to look at the Gilu Shechina. So the next time it says like that, so you're Rabbi Shulam Arachani. Rabbi Shulam Arachani disagrees with the following Tana. Because of three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, he was there later in life to three things. Because he did it by Yasa Moshe Panov, because he covered his face, Zachal Klaster upon him, his face shone later. After the night had seen that Moshe Rabbeinu's face shone. He was there later in life, a year in the Geshe Tevot. The people had a year that covered for Moshe Rabbeinu later, when he saw that. And this time they have it over a kid because he didn't want to look at the Shina, therefore Zachat Munach Hashem Yabit. So Mishmur Ma'achani quotes in the name of Rabbi Yannis and the Moshe Rabbeinu did the right thing. Other Rabbi, he was rewarded for that. So what's the shot in Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha the first time in the first Brisa? That he was punished because Moshe Rabbeinu covered his face and he didn't proceed to come closer to the snare. He was punished. That was it. When he requested of HaKadosh Baruch Hu later, it was turned out as a punishment. What was the punishment? What did he deserve punishment? He did the right thing like the next time he said. He did the right thing. That's the Kod Hashkin. So some of the Mechorosh Ma'ani Anyan could say that he knew that when he saw the suffering in Golos, in the Tzrayim, he was taking care of the sheep. And if he sees the Hashraat HaShchina, he should right away be Rebaka Shimon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should have gotten right away that he should see to it that he should bring the Gula. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was negligent, not the fact that he didn't let him do the Hashchina. That if you see the Hashchina, you should stand by and stare. No, that part of what Moshe Rabbeinu did was not the Kiyori Mahabitel of the Kiyori. He didn't want to look at the Hashchina. That's the prophecy. He had a minute back there, not to look at the Shechina, but what was wrong was that he should have gotten right away to plead with the Kodesh
Baruch Hu. But he was punished for the whole thing, he didn't want to go. I mean,
he was punished because he kept on refusing to
go. He continued to refuse.
Right, so some say that was this punishment also was the same thing. Not that he was punished for not looking at the Shechina. He was punished for the delay. As the Parsha says, he was punished many things in the Parsha I mentioned that he was punished. Kuna was taken away, so we part of the punishment for not hastening the Gula, the Pearson sign was that on this occasion his third request was turned out.
So Karen Orr, don't learn Karen Orr from the news, the explanation that he rolled down one nose and had a little impress over
it. There's different opinions in the Medish, yeah, and Hechem Zafa Moshe Lekani Hai. Well, it was just one opinion from the left over here. There's different opinions in the Medrash. This is the Kol Tagadot. Now he's more quoting the Tzukim, so he continues. But it says, Vasiyoti es kati in Parshas Kisiso, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you cannot look at my face. I will put you the Nikra Tatsur, you'll say, in the in the cave, and the Shechina will pass by, and after it passes by, the Risa Tachairai will swan I lay a row. I'm not sure about it. You'll see this my back, but you won't see my front. Ashwara Pasik, so what does it mean? Risa Sakhara. So the Gemara says, Amra Khan about this, Amra Shima Khatin, Mamame, the Pasik means Shahra Kharashbok al Mosh Kesha Shok Sil. Also Ashwara, I gotta say, what exactly is it referring to? What does it mean Kesha Shok? Some of us explain that Kesha means when you tie two things together, that's a Kesha. Before you even get any further, is that correct? That's the definition of a Kesha. Let's see, what's the Malachas Kesher on Shabbos? Yeah, let's say, Kesher Shokayom, usually, if you have two strings, you tie them together only one, so that's not a Kesher Shokayom, you have to tie twice, Kesher Agabi Kesher. What if you have one string, and you tie a knot at the end of the string, let's say you have a pigeon. You tie a knot at the end of the string, even one knot is going to hold. So that's going to be a Kesher Shokayom. The Mei Mishnah say that if you tie a knot in a string against itself, but that's a kesha shokayam, even though there's only one knot, and it's not a kesha agami kesha. And the Egle Tal has a whole fuss about this. He brings it on this. He thinks that maybe it's wrong. Maybe by definition, kesha means that you tie together two strings that used to be separate. But if I have a string and I tie it against itself, then it doesn't do anything. It's not called kesha by definition. He says that the word kesha, the whole concept of shira means that you tie two things together, that you combine them together. That's the
same
approach
you play with. The lady is one string.
A loop.
A loop. It's a loop. You tie two ends together.
A loop. A shoe.
A lady is a shoe.
Yeah.
It's a bow, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Would that be considered a catcher?
Okay. You're tying together two ends. You're tying at least two ends together. It used to be loose. You're tying together. But if you take one string.
It's a separate thing.
Right. Okay. Okay. You're combining the two ends of the... So if you take one, it takes one shoelace,
make a knot.
Take one end of the shoelace and make a knot. So you have a knot, but it's the knot. This is machaber two things together. So here's some portion claim that step number one is that the word kesha by definition means to combine two things together. That's questionable whether that's correct or not. On the assumption that it is correct, that kesha means combining two things together. So they say that that's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, the way there's a relationship and a closeness between Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. So that's what Kesher shall fill me. Very difficult. So I guess, that's what the Marshal says.
The whole thing is different. In other words, if you see the back of someone, if he's wearing pillows, you see the Kesher in the back.
But what is it?
It's all the whole thing.
Yeah. Yes, that's what the Marshal says. The Kesher between Am Yisrael and the Baruch Shem. But how does it fit into the Tzukim?
Very sure.
The Kesher shall fill in. What was that? The Kesher shall fill in? Yes. That was the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. That's another thing. So the Baruch Shalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu how he davened for an omen as a Shlech Tzibur to teach us how. And he wore the tefillin to show us how we should wear tefillin. No, it's a dogma, Moshe. Sometimes the Baruch Shalom does things to show us how we're supposed to do it.
He shows them the effect rather than the cause. Moshe Rabbeinu asked him to show him the effect. So Hashem told him the back of the tefillin. He's shown two things put together, showing the cause of what happened. He can figure it out, but he won't tell him why it happened.
I don't know. Shveir Shnika Ligimar. He showed him Kesher Shoftim. I don't understand. We have Rabbi Yechon, Ligimar quotes another man. Ligimar quoting all the members of Rabbi Yechon said the name of the town of Rabbi Yechon. Yama Rabbi Yechon Yishim Rabbi Yechon, another member called Diba the Diba Shirachim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Tzayvah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises somebody something good, even if it's only on a condition, it depends. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do mitzvahs, I'll give you a scar. If you don't do mitzvahs, I'm not going to give you a scar. That's understood. If he doesn't do mitzvahs, I'm not there. He doesn't get the scar. But it means like this. If the Baruch Hu says, if it snows tomorrow, I'm going to give you, the Baruch Hu says, if I make a deal with you, if it snows tomorrow, I'll give you $1 million, if it doesn't snow, not. But then if it does not, I don't have to give. If it snows, I have to give. Does not, I don't have to give. But if the Baruch Hu makes such a deal with me, or with someone, and says, if it snows tomorrow, I'm going to give him $1 million. If it doesn't snow now, even if it doesn't snow, he's going to give. Unless this guy would want a mitzvah and a baby, if I say so, the person doesn't deserve it. If the person doesn't deserve, he's not going to give. If the promise was originally Allah tonight, if the promise was not by lesson eyes, if it was just self understood, Rashi says he's going to give, Rashi appears to a tzaddik, says he's going to give him a lot of children, healthy family, and parnosa, and happiness, and everything is going to go well. And then the tzaddik becomes a rush. But then if the Rashi didn't incorporate the clause of the Tanai into the promise, then also the Haftach on the Seifa will not be reversed. The Haftach on the Seifa is not reversed. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is all of Tanai. But this is the Haftach on the Seifa on some other Tanai, not a Tanai in Mitzvah and Averi. It's not the Tanai, it's no, no, it's no. So if you don't have Averi, any Tanai goes, any Tanai is valid, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if the Haftach on the Seifa is all of Tanai, he wouldn't back out. How do you know? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry with Nei Yisrael by the occasion of the Chesed Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the spot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should forgive the Nei Yisrael. The Baruch Hu says, no, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to make from you a whole Nei Yisrael. You'll be the descendants from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and everything will go through you. And forget it out of Nei Yisrael. So the Baruch Hu promise of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make him into a Bnei Yisrael. It's going to have Shish and Libra from Moshe Rabbeinu. He'll take over. And then what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu did an Averi that he didn't deserve it? No. Moshe Rabbeinu davened to the Baruch Hu, and the Baruch Hu forgave us to the Chet Ego. There's no need any longer. The only reason why Thomas Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give him 8 o'clock, so many 8 o'clock, is because he's going to wipe out Bnei Yisrael. So who's going to do Bnei Yisrael? It's going to make Moshe Rabbeinu into Bnei Yisrael. But if now the Baruch Hu has corrupted and he listened to Moshe Rabbeinu's children, so he doesn't need to give Moshe Rabbeinu so many grandchildren for such a reboot. And nonetheless, the Pasuk says, Shinem, I haven't met the Ashmedein, the Gerber, the Bezos, the Lebroyotzum, and I've forgotten. So that in other words, the Haftacha to Moshe Rabbeinu that he would become a Goy Atzum, a tremendously large nation, was only Allah Tanai, is understood, it was on the condition that Bnei Yisrael is going to be wiped out. He's going to need a Klal Yisrael. So I forgot the boy, Moshe Rabbeinu, Allah the Nusit. Even though later Moshe Rabbeinu was Mestavel, Ubitla, and he canceled the effect of the Rabban Shalom's plan, and he didn't wipe out Bnei Yisrael, so there's no longer any need to have Moshe Rabbeinu live for a Goy Atzum. Nonetheless, Ukmo Bizarre, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled that promise of the descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu, and there were many, many descendants, had many, many, many 8 o'clock. How do you know Shanema? B'nei Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, namely Gershom, the Eliezer. B'yiyu, B'nei Eliezer, Rechavya, Rosh, the first one was Rechavya, and so on. B'nei Rechavya, Rabu Le Milo. And the descendants of Rechavya were Rabu Le Milo. What does that mean? They had Onashir children. The Tani Rav Yosef, what does that mean? Rabu Lemaila? Lemaila Mishishim Rebo. Well, how do you know that the word Rabu Lemaila, that he had more than Shishim Rebo? Ashi Radir Radir, sort of a Gzeris Shabra. Sifafa Rabu Lemaila, by Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants, it says that they were Rabu Lemaila, they had on Ashir Eidikla. Of Sifasim in the Mitzrayim, it says that they saw far by Yishim Tziva Yerbu, so just like over there in Dean. But they were Shishim Rebo, so to Moshe Rabbeinu, they had Rabu Rosa Shishim Rebo.
They were Levi, right?
Yes.
You ever see what the tribe of ladies were so small?
No, this is a later generation. They were young. Later generations. They turned out to be Shishimi. This is a big machlok in the Rishonim. What's the definition of Rishis Haram Deraita? Gemara says, in order to constitute Rishis Haram Deraita, you have to have certain conditions. The one condition is it has to be Tezayin Amar wide. The street, you have to have a street. It has to belong to the municipality. If it's all privately owned, so then it's not a Rishus HaRam Deraita. It has to belong to the government, or it shouldn't belong to anybody. It shouldn't be privately owned, and it has to be 16 amos wide, and it has to have no roof on it, and it has to be foolish that you can cut through the whole city. If everything is a dead end, and none of the streets cut through the whole city, so then it's only a carmelis, and it's not a Rishus HaRam Deraita. But then a whole group of Rishonim added on a new condition. You have to have Shish and Libro, you have to have the interpreted Gemaras and the Shtayim like that, and Erev and Shadu. You have to have 600,000 plus more people walking on that street every day. So where'd they get that from? Because Pum says the Midrash was like that. So why not say, if we have Rishonim from the right, if it's on that continent, it has to be in Africa, Asia, or Europe.
600,000 is only 20 people more.
It's only what?
20 and over.
Yeah, there were more. Yeah,
there were more than Shishim. Then why can't you say that you pointed them all up to like 3 million?
More, right? So that's what the Mepharshim say, but the Chumash only mentions that number. So we only follow the halacha. Right. It's only the men between the ages of 20 and 60. So there were really many more people roaming around at that time. But still, the halacha was Nikra. Based on Dumya the Digley Nidbar, all the Malachas he learned out from the Mishkan, the Hotels also learned out from the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan it doesn't say how many people there were. You can figure that out on our own. In the Mishkan it only gives you the number of Shishim Livah plus. So we assume, that's what the group of Hashem said, we assume that that number was written for Allah's purpose to define what's called the Shisharam Derech. That's a little strange. That's how you define it. That's called Shisharam Derech. It says the word Rabbim, Shufa Rabbim. Has to be Rishu Saram, the word Rabbim means Shishim Ribo. The Tanakhanim say that's in this Gemara, it would appear like that. Gemara says, Asher is a year of the year. And whenever you speak of a Rabbim, it means that there's Shishim Ribo. But if you have less than Shishim Ribo, it's not called the Rishu Saram there, right? The Mishnah Tiyankov doesn't like that. Mishnah Tiyankov is the one who, in the Sefer on Brachas, he points out, so this Gemara is mashma that in order to constitute Rishu Saram there, you have to have Shishim Ribo. And he tells you to look in his Shubbis, and his Shubbis, he doesn't like that. He thinks that most of the Rishonim deny that. And it doesn't really say to the Gemara anywhere that there's any Shishim Ribo. But he admits himself that the simple reading of this Gemara seems to imply that for the term Rabbin, after the Bir Adir, you require such a large number of Shishim Ribo. It is relevant today, the number Shishim Ribo. If you hold that that's relevant for Shishim Ribo, then it's relevant. If you hold like the other Rishonim that you don't need Shishim Ribo to constitute the Shisharam Derech, so does the number Shishim Ribo play any role at all? I would assume that not. The Vilna Gaon quotes in the Zohar that Shishim Ribo is relevant to the purpose of Bias HaMashiach. The Talmid HaGro quotes that the Rebbe the Gro used to say that when there will be Shishim Ribo Yidin moving into Eretz Yisrael from the Golos, that will be the first step in Hashkalt of the Golos. Other Gedolim said that they didn't. Other Gedolim said not based on any Zohar. They said the Shishim Ribo is irrelevant as far as Mashiach is concerned. It's a different number. It's 22,000 Jews. So the Gemara says Shiv Hashem Ribo Bas Alta Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yivam Era Kadishlof Mashiach Shkinat Al Yisrael. The prophet Yishtei Rabuah Yishnei Alaf Shiv Hashem. Let the Rebbeinu Shlom return to the Mashiach Shkinat Al Shiv Hashem Ribo Bas Alta Yisrael. Let the Shechina return to the big kibbutz of Yidden. How many Yidden? Ribavayis, Alta Yisrael. A Ribo means 10,000. So Ribavayis is a minimum of 20,000 too. And Alta, Elif is 1,000. So Alta is a minimum of 2. So that's what Rabbi Shulam Kutner wrote in his sefer, that when there will be such a great Aliyah that you'll have 22,000 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that'll be the first step towards, that he calls that Ashkalta Begulah. That'll be the first step towards Bias HaMashiach. The name of the Groat, as they say, not. Why? Because what do you mean Ashkalta Begulah? What's going to lead up to Binyan Beis HaMikdash? You have to have 22,000. So if you don't have 22,000, you didn't get the first base yet. But as soon as you have 22,000 Jews living in the right stuff, then you can begin to discuss building a Beis HaMikdash with Ashkalta Begulah. And the Groat, the course from the Groat, based on Zohar, that the number 22,000 is not the key. Either Jimon Yevomis, or he said something else, I don't know. He said, no, Ashkalta Begulah is when you have over 600,000 Jews moving into Eretz Yisrael. Now you have more. And every Jew has Simcha Kedem Tzarzach, every Jew has a Chelik in the Torah. So that's what in some Kabbalah when they write, that the name Yisrael, the word Yisrael, the Rosh Hashanah, Yesh Yishim Riba, Oti, Osla Torah, that every Jew has an Oti in the Torah that's his Shorosh, that's his Mo. So the same does Hashem, to the same name of the Moshe Chaim Motzato, the author of the Mesilas Nisharim, that he said there are fewer, there aren't enough letters, that's the problem. So he claimed that if you break down the letters to their component parts, it will be Shishim Ribo. He said, take for example the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph has a vav and has 2 yuds. A yud on top and a yud on the bottom. Because then if you'll count it. That's the question. So you have to see whether it's correct.
With the computer, they can figure it out.
Yeah,
with the computer. Why did it do with the computer?
Well, it's an R.
each
number to be a certain number.
Yeah. Are there same kinds of blank spaces also? You have to have been between one word and the next. I think the quote of Cook said that it says like that in Kabbalah. In between one word and the next, you have to, between one letter and the other, you have to have to put aside a slight, a very slight space. Between one word and the other, you have to have Kimolo or Kitano. Enough, a large enough space to write a yud. And that Sukar is Tuma, a Sukar is Tuma, that's at the minimum of nine. We pass in nine, I think. We pass in, that's at the minimum of a space for nine. So whenever you have a stupa, you have to count that as if it's 9 acres. Whenever you have a stupa, you have to count that as if it's 9 acres. It could be nine, sometimes much more than nine. But since the minimum is nine, and in between every word, in between any two given words, you have to count, since you have to have enough space to put malo sana, to put a yud, you have to count it as if that's also nine. So they write that Rav Kook said that that's the pshat in the Kabbalah Shvat. You have to count all the stupas and stupas in the empty space, that ladder. Look, you have to go make a hedge. That was a dispute among the Tosfim. The Abaisha thinks that it doesn't have to be Jews. Most of our friends thought that that was a big joke to say that as we got to Jews, and some went so far as the Jews between the age of 20 and 60, male. Male Jews in the age of 20 and 60, because that's the way the Chumash was.
No.
The point of Shatina, you all have those who show that in Shishim Reba's passed to the Shishim Reba people, family. That's how she got to Shishim Reba, Jews between that age. Pastor says that.
Can you elaborate on the
Shishim Reba
class?
Pardon?
Can you elaborate on the
Shishim Reba
class?
No, using the street. Using the street, that's the further question. Does it mean Shishim Reba people using that street?
Right.
That's how the Makaba writes. Shishim Reba people using that street? Shishim Reba people in the neighborhood, in the community, that's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests. Mishnah Berurah kind of is on the bottom of the page in the Sharatim, I think. It's not even in the Mishnah Berurah, not in the Deir Allah, it's all in the bottom, the footnote. And he gives it an amount of time, so once in a while he throws in something in the Sharatim also. So in the Sharatim he writes, he doesn't see where it says in any of the Shishim that any Shishim Reba people walking in that given thing, he thinks that Shishim Reba people in the neighborhood is good enough. Shishim Reba people are roaming around anywhere. In any of the streets. And that's what the Rav Moshe picked that up. Also, he doesn't call it the Mishnah Berurah. It's also very strange. Everything is strange in everything. Rav Moshe writes on his own. He thinks there's Kiddush, state behind the cage in the Mishnah Berurah writes that Kiddush. And he doesn't think that Kiddush, Shisha Reba, the people walking on that particular street, as long as Shisha Reba, the people live in a neighborhood. But the last time we showed him to say the same, is that the Kiddush, Shisha Reba, the people walking on that street. Yeah, they didn't have the Mishnah Berurah. That's the question, yeah, what's the time you have? Fast this is a day. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the
difference between that line? That's an Ein Pal, the Beis Ryan had that Ein Pal. He says that if the people ride in trains, if the people travel on the trains, so the trains are just like this Ne'asma. So they're not in the streets. They're on the trains. They go in automobiles. The automobiles are just like this Ne'asma. The dollar on dollar talking is on top of the door. So whoever is in the car, whoever travels on the train doesn't count. You can have the most busy intersection in the world, all trains and planes and cars and everything, and it's nothing. It's only a common. That's what the other parts of the report is. Moshe also makes part of that report. He doesn't write that it's a data flying, because he writes this, a contemporary rabbi in Brooklyn came up with this idea. It wasn't a contemporary Brooklyn, it was from 100 years ago. Optimizes. He writes, first came up with this idea. No, that's utterly wrong. Okay. Love is more. It's more smart than the next thing you should be under. Let's say on top of all days. Oh, but I'll be on the Shema Jim by God. This is a different time. All these members were Rabbi Yechanan in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now is a new thing. Not the Yomah, not the new. Rabbi Yechanan says in the name of Shimon Yechanan, from the day the Yom Shepar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, from the day the Rabbi Yechanan created the world, V'chol Yehodim Shekroi LaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon, no one ever referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the expression Adon, HaShebo Avraham Avinu Bukhra'o Adon. Shemem, when was that? V'yayimer. Alub Dalud Nun Yud, V'moh Eidah, Ki'ir HaShenu. Tezis points out that when we read the Chumash, whenever it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, so we always pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, because the prophet says Eshmi Le'olam Zeh Zichu Nedar V'Dor, Eshmi Le'olam, we read it Le'olam, it's close above, so we read it La'alim, you have to be Malim Shem Hashem,
You're not permitted to pronounce the Shen Yutkei Vavkei Borelam HaZeh. The Gemara says in Tzachim that Borelam HaBom, the Gemara says in Mashiach, we'll all refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yutkei Vavkei. But Borelam HaZeh, we're not permitted to pronounce that name. Zeh Zichri, the Jor Vodor, you say, Alav Dalam Yen Yud as a substitute for Yutkei Vavkei. So a lot of times it says Avraham Avinu is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and other people refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yutkei Vavkei, and we read it in Kriya HaTorah Alav Dalam Yen Yud. But that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about Avraham Avinu was the first one who referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Alav Dalam Yen Yud, calling him an Adam. He was the first one. What is the significance of this? Alav Dalam Yen Yud, Bama Eda Ki'i Roshenu. What's the significance of Kura or Adam? So the way it's usually understood is, the Pashtus usually is, the Marshal gives the Pashtus that way, they usually understand it. But until the days of Avraham Avinu, somehow from the days of that they started to worship Avodah Zarah, so they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. They had a tradition from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon spoke to the Marshal, it was Anavi, and he told all the later generations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, he told them that he created the world and so on. But they didn't fully realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Balabas, that he has a Hashgachas, that he wasn't Masalik his Bibles from the world. There used to be many of them who thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and then he doesn't care what's going on, doesn't pay attention, doesn't care. Avraham Avinu was the first one who called HaKadosh, first one in a long time, where he referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon in the sense, no, that he still has a Hashgachas. Not just that he created the world, that he's still Mashgiach, he knows what's happening, and he cares what's happening, he has the ability to intervene like an Adon, like a Balabas, who intervenes whenever he wants to. That's the way the Mashot says, that's usually a thing to be the Posh of Shat in his Zimah. Others interpret differently based on a Yalkut Shemani on Sefer Yehoshua. On the bottom of the Yom Yankir, one of the Mephoshim quotes is the Yalkut Shemani on Sefer Yehoshua, where the Pashit describes that they had the Aron HaBris going in front of them when they crossed over the Yarden, when they went to war, and the Aron HaBris would somehow accomplish something else, that it mowed everybody down and everything down, everything got knocked out. So the Pashit says the Aron HaBris, Adon HaOret, the expression Adon HaOret is used there, was even with Nehem, whenever they would go to battle and they would win and they would succeed and they would conquer all the time. The Yalkut Shemani comments on Sefer Yehoshua, why didn't he use that expression Adon HaOret? Adon HaOret. The Balabas of Eretz Yisrael, the Balabas of the world. So the Medrash says because he's throwing out the Kenayim and he's moving in the Bnei Yisrael. We refer to someone as Adon, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the being who has Hashgacha Pratis, and he knows what's happening and he cares what's happening and he can intervene and he doesn't intervene. No, it's more than that. The expression Adon only applies in Yuchad when you're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercising his adnus in the sense of kicking somebody out and substituting somebody else in instead. So that's what Avraham Avinu is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael as a matana. That's at the occasion of the Brit Milah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, do the Brit Milah and have a Muna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and transmit this Muna to your children and told him to marry you, Shlucho Lelekim Zach HaKrecha. And then he said, and I give you Eretz Yisrael as a matana. That's what Achaim said in the Rabbi Yankee family, close to Achaim. The meaning is, when someone has a brit, they give him a ton. So where did that come from? So he says, the marker is that when Avraham Avinu had the brit, the Rosh gave him a ton, he gave him a ton. That's the marker, that you should give him a ton when you have a brit. So the Rosh Hashanah told him at that time, he's going to give him a ton. So Avraham Avinu says, Bama Eida Ki Roshem. And at that time, he used the expression, Alav Dalav Nun Yud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, I'm going to change that to Zaynumas, and I'm going to put your descendants there instead. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on that occasion, was speaking about replacing the population, changing the population, that's why he's referred to as Alav Dalav Nun Yud. And that's how some interpret the next man in the Gemara. Omar Rav, Avdaniel also by Nana Ella the Shvil Avram, and he was Mispalat Hashem, his prayers were answered in the Shvus of Avram Shenema. Dr. Shmela Hena, to us, Abdul Khalil Tatnun of Vartanach Mudosh Hashamain, the man Adonai. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, the man Hashem. If I speak to you, I say, the man Hashem. I'm speaking to the Banish Lord. Shmela came, the man Khorib Boyle, he's not the man Khor. Why does he say, the man Alav Dalad Nun Yud? Eladiz, Leman Avraham Shikracho Adon. So what does that mean? So that's what these Mephoshim say, based on this Yalkut Shemai, that the expression Adon means a change of population, that Daniel, Avraham Avinu refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told him, I'm going to chase out the Tzayinim, I'm going to replace them with B'nai Yisrael.
And Daniel lived at a time that there already was a Golus. The Nachman were living in Eretz Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael were in Golus. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Laman, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, you are the Aden Ha'aretz. You have the ability to replace the population. The secret was that you chase out the Ummah Sayyidah and you replace them with the Bnei Yisrael again. The same as in the days of Avraham Avinu when you promised him that. The name of a different Amor. Afraid of that, how come we have it twice in the same sister? The name of two different people. Shenemar, although one might have argued the point and thought that perhaps it would make more sense to be Mephias, the person who was angry at the beginning of his cause, before things get worse, and he learned that from the prophet, that it's not done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Pana Yelechu, first let me calm down a little bit, and then Ma'alichai Tilach. And then after the initial stage of anger goes away, then it tries to be Mephias. No one ever thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are strange memories. Ashabos Leah. Until Leah came along, Rahidasa, and she thanked Hashem. When she had her fourth child, right? When she had Reuben Shimon Levi Yehuda. By the fourth child, she never Hapam Odeh Et Hashem. She didn't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the first three children either. Very strange. No one ever thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very strange memory anymore. The Mepharshim worked very hard trying to figure out a pshat. They don't come up with anything to my mind. Last letter anymore. Why didn't people thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I thought it was out of place.
She had more of her chelik for sure.
No, this is the favorite.
Commission share. So why didn't anyone thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu before? No one ever realized that they got what they deserved. Because they didn't get yet what they deserved. I don't know. Very strange.
Oh, yes. But later, why should they be thanking before?
Why no one ever thanked before?
Why later?
Yeah, before the days of Leah. No, why didn't... Oh, why Leah didn't thank? But why didn't anyone before the days of Leah? They thought that the snap was Yichvaydai. Strange time. The Gemara is not commenting on the names of the sisters. Different names. Reuven, the Pasuk says, she called the name of her first child was Reuven. And then it says, Ki Amra, Why did she mean when she gave the name Reuven? Look at the difference between my son, Reuven, who's being born now, and my brother-in-law. In other words, my father-in-law's son is my brother-in-law, Esau. So he sold out of his own free will, he sold the Bechoira to Yankin, to Chavim, to Bechoira to Yankin. Nonetheless, Chazu, Max, did they take a look first to take the Chumash, or Yisrael, Esau, as Yankin. He hated Yankin because Yankin took the brothers. That's exactly what he sold to Yankin. He sold the schools of the Bechoira to Yankin. Yankin had it right. He was entitled to take the brothers. And nevertheless, even though he sold it to him out of his own free will, out of his own Midaitai, his Sinai, nevertheless, he hated him. He was angry. He was to be my son, Reuven. Even though my son Reuven didn't give it away to anybody, Yankif took it away from Reuven, and he gave the Bechor to Yosef. The first thing that Yavin says, because Reuven did an Avera, Nitzan B'chayrot to live in a Yosef, a Felachim said, one would have thought that he should certainly be furious, he should be very angry. Nonetheless, a Felachim lay Kami Bey, he wasn't jealous and he wasn't tired of the Chsiv, other Abba. When it came to how to see him, the Reuven was the one, Vayish Reuven Mayasilei Miyonim. Because that's what she was saying at that time. She was saying, take a look what a wonderful child this kid is going to be. The Azisa kid, yeah, she saw already when the baby was born, he had wonderful chunas and he's not going to be jealous of any other children. That's all she saw right away. So all of my friends are bothered with the question, but it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that she called him Reuven Ki Amra, two reasons.
How do you know the reason? The Pasuk gives the reason why? Oh, so he quotes from the God, and then in the Pasuk say like that. That by the other children, they give first the reason. It is because of reason X, Y, Z. Therefore, I came Karashmo. And they give the name. And here it says, she calls his name Reuven, Kilon Ro. So that's what they quote. A lot of Akronim say like that. Because it says first the name, and then it says Kilon Ro. So apparently the name must have had some additional reason. And then Kilon Ro, the official reason I was given was this. She didn't want to say the same as what the reason was. She didn't want to hurt the feelings of Yitzchak. He had a miserable son, Asaph, such a terrible child. Didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Yaakov had no say in the name.
Only Dina. She didn't want to say in the name. Yaakov
Dina. Dina, but Dina. But Dina, that she called, you know, Yaakov called her.
Binyana.
No, Dina didn't call her. Dina also, she called Dina. But the question was Dina.
Binyana,
she called her. So, the right Jew is about that. Who has the right to give the name to the dead?
Father.
The Daz came to Bala Atesis, the Yom Kippur, the Daz came to Bala Atesis right on Yehuda. That by, when Yehuda had children, it says the first one was there, the second one was Zainan, and the third one was Shelo. Yeah. So the first one says, Vayikra Shmoe, the second one says, Vatikra Shmoe Ona. The third one says, Vatikra Shmoe Shelo, Kihoya Vahoya Vahsi Belinita Ota. So the Daz came to say, because the husband was out of town, so she had to give the third name also. And if not, if Yehuda would have been there, he would have the skut to give, because he alternates the skut. Father has the skut to give the name of the first baby, mother has the skut to give the name to the second baby, the father has the third baby, and vice.
That's not the way that
it's not a lot of issues. Who has the right to give the name?
11 out of 12 should all name by the mother. Like the mother.
He didn't care? Young man didn't care? Yeah. Yes. It means the Ruach HaKodesh. Nibba v'layod ha-mashi nibba. Okay. It's coming nibba v'layod ha-mashi nibba, and somebody didn't realize herself what it was. Probably the official reason. That's how the Mephoshim said. The official reason, Ki Amro was, Ki Hashem Yanyi. But in her heart she had a different reason. That's why it says, Vatikra Shema Ruve, she had her own reason why. The armor was the official reason that she said to the... Also strange. Yeah, it's very strange.
He gave 12 names.
The answer is there's no clause. The question is, you see, there's no clause. Sometimes the mother gives over, sometimes the father gives over. Yeah. Once the Gemara comments on the meaning of the name Reuven, so they continue to comment on the meaning of the name Ruth. Why is Ruth called Ruth? My Ruth, I'll shame her husband, but the Ma'amar Abiyach and Shazachso, the Yot and Mena Dovid, she rebeva, Vakon Ezbocho Bashiras, this is Bach, she had a descendant, namely Dabra Mela, who composed all of the Tehillim, many of the Tehillim, not all of the Tehillim, many of the Tehillim, which praise Hakon Ezbocho so much, like Kaisi Rivoya. So much, all of one. So rebeva, Hakon Ezbocho Bashiras, he flooded Hakon Ezbocho with all of the praises, with all of the Tirki Atilim that he composed. So that's why his great-grandmother was given the name of, she was born Ruth, Hashem Harsin, is this Nibu, but by Yodam Hashem Nibu, why they gave her the name Ruth, that he was going to have such a descent. Greg the Gemara, Mi'ol of the Shmogar, and how do you know that such a thing makes sense, that a person has a name, and we assume that that somehow
helps.
The name really relates to something in reality. The Shmogar, the name caused something to happen in the future, because something is going to happen in the future. That's why I put
the name of God to it. Was it her name or was it the Hebrew name?
Ruth was a Yiddish.
Yeah, but when did she get the name?
Yeah, that's what some of the questions say. She had the name when she was a Shiksa. And that was the question. Why did she maintain that name after she converted? She should have switched that name. Otherwise, what did Mary ask you? My Ruth. And I've given you my Ruth. He gave my name Ruth. What's the difference? You have to have a reason why you give the name Ruth. Some of the questions say, why did she continue to have that name after she converted? I don't know, Vino's name changed and Torah's name changed. Whenever a boy converts, he changes his name. So Ruth should have changed his name also. So the answer is, no, that was a very pleasant name. That name had to do with the future as a Yiddish imam.
That is very happy.
It's also, let's say, boy's name is Abraham. A boy's name is Abraham. Abraham Lincoln wants to be in the right. He has to change his name. That's used to be Isaac. He has a Yiddish name. If his name is Jesus, his name is, Domenico or something, a real Gracious name. So that's not nice to maintain it. He has a Yiddish name before, so he maintains it. Not a place to change it.
that's what you assume, that name Luth was given after she converted.
Right.
So some say. That was the name that was given after she converted. So the Gemara comes, in addition to the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Emeret that she had, all the Brian Hashem Mitzvahs Ben Emeret. When a guy converts, so he gets an additional 600.
No,
no. The Gemara says, where do you find such a concept? There's a lot of discussion in Yuma and other Gemaras that Shmogar, in Chulin, Gemara Chulin about Shmogar. The Gemara says, how do you see from a Pasuk in Tanakh that Shmogar, that there is some kind of a relationship between the name that the person was given as a child or at an early age and what's going to happen in the future? Yeah, that's another kind of shinashim, right? Ani ishacher, like if a person, the Rama says, a person does tshuva, so you say, ani ishacher, whatever punishment I deserved in my previous life should not be meted out to me, I did tshuva, I'm a changed person. So the same words of shinashim, that tshuva, tzvila, tzvah, and shinashim, avir, and tzvah, agzera. These are the things that it can accomplish that the gzera should follow. He changes his
name.
Right, but why do you change your name? Because it's a Xera Raw that was on the island. It should not apply to this person, it's a different person. Everybody holds a Shmogera. That's taking more Rosh Hashanah, that's such a concept of Shin Hashem. Even more means a different thing, Shmogera. That you assume that there is some relationship between the name that the person was given and the parents a long time ago, and it's mutual life. Either that the fact that he has that name is going to determine it's going to happen, or the fact that it's going to happen is the reason why the Rebbe Shom taught to it, but that they gave that name to the parents. So where is that Pasuk? The Pasuk is this totally different shot. The Pasuk is describing why the Rebbe Shom sometimes has to destroy or wipe out an entire community or entire nation. The Chuch Hazum, the Father of Hashem, so take a look at the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Som, Shamra is Boris. And sometimes you have to make other... ...that people get names the way they want, that it should relate to their future. Yeah, sometimes you have, let's say there's a world war going on. Whatever. A natural catastrophe, something terrible. You will take it to heart very seriously. But if there's a problem in my family, there's no shalom bayit with the wife, or one of the children is rebellious, or the person's hair will turn gray over that, faster than all the world wars. Come to the mother, yeah! World war, people getting killed. Unless he's running away from the Nazis, if I'm running away from the Nazis, my hair will turn white. But if I know the world is coming to an end, they're dropping hydrogen bombs and atom bombs, no, but it's happening, so you give a test, and you don't like it. That's what the Gemara says, that if it's in the game, to that person, the conscious power is off that place, the shalom, aggravation, about personal aggravation that affects him personally, people take, ideologically, it shouldn't be so. A person should maintain the proper perspective, they should keep in mind, look, the whole world is coming to an end. Isn't that more serious than your little problem? You don't have any panosa, or your children are not, whatever.
He's not called on to do anything about it. Therefore, he can sit passively, but when there's a problem in the house, this is probably a call on to do something.
Exactly, that's what the Gemara says. That even though it's really out of perspective, the proper perspective is that the things that affect the whole world
should be
that's what the Gemara says. He takes it more thought. How do you know?
How do you know? Where does it say that? The Gemara proves it from God. When he was running away from his own Shama, Avshalom, Avshalom made a revolt against his father. The next pocket says Hashem, Rabbi Tzorvei, Rabbim Komim Olai. You fell off, the world is coming to an end. What's the world coming to an end? So his son is making a little revolution against his father. Do you, Gabi Mechemes, go to Mavich, see? And the other parakeet to him, it says, what's the problem? What's the problem? Why are they tumbling so much? What are they tumbling about? Such a world war. And he says, Lama Rosh Hashanah, what are they tumbling about? And over here, he starts describing it because they're chasing him out of Eretz Yisrael, describing it as if the world is coming to an end. Yeah. When the world is really coming to an end by Mechem Kodom, he says, what's the problem? What's the big deal? What are they fighting about? I don't know if that's the Kavanah. That's an important thing, but I don't know if that's the Kavanah. I don't think so. He's not giving such a crap to just pointing out, what's the issue? What are they just like here philosophically? What are they fighting about? And when it's negated to him, then he says, Marabu Tzorai, Rabin Kolim Olai. Is that Rabin Kolim Olai? Say the Gemara, Akashi, Mizmur, Dabu Baruch, Nav Shalom, and I. What kind of a Mizmur is that? Mizmur seems he's singing a niggun, he's very happy about something. Say the Gemara, Mizmur, Dabu Baruch, Nav Shalom, and he should say, Kira, it's a made revolution. Amar, Shina, Ben Avi Shalom, the Shat is like this, Mashmur, Nav Dabu Dabu, Nav Shalom, Nav Shalom, a person owed a debt, a large sum of money, and is pressing away. How is he ever going to pay this obligation? Before he pays it off, he's very dead for a long time because he's suffering under the burden of this debt. He's going to have to pay. After he already got rid of it, he paid it up. So they make a party when they burn the mortgage. When he burns the mortgage, he just shells out so much money. No, now it's after that he's put this whole thing. That was the psychology. Avkar, David, Amelech, was came to Shamalach, but his Baruch Hu, he knew Benavur, he didn't make Malach a Rami Beisrach. Or he was going to have trouble. So he was aggravated for a long time by your Otsay, he was very sad on the Shem Ebed, and Mamzu Hu, the Lochai Salah, maybe it'll be a revolution, but they won't have Rachmanis on me. And he came to the Chazad, Avshalom Hu. Once he saw that it's his own son, Avshalom, Samach, that was okay, Shmachi Amma, Mizmah. That's what he said, Mizmah Ladon. What's Somach? He's not going to get killed. Where do you see that he was Chayis on his father? He says that never that Mamzu would not have Rachmanis, was Chayis alive. But my son Hashem is going to have Rachmanis on him. Where do you see that Hashem had Rachmanis on the father? You don't really, because the Israelites said they killed him, and that was the end of the whole revolution. I mean, he ran away from him. So the Mashon, the other Mephoshim say, because if Avshalom wanted to, he could have killed David earlier. He could have killed David, and that would be the end of David. And he didn't kill him. He just wanted to kick him out of the throne. He wanted to kick him out, so David and Melech ran away. That David HaMelech felt that his son was having Rachmanis on him, that he only wanted the throne. He didn't want his wife. Right. He had the feeling that Avshalom was not the king. This Avshalom was Nishkin. In fact, Avshalom was a Russian. Here on the right-hand side of the Gemara, they come to look in the Tashis and Yuma, Daflam, and said, and the name of Shimon ben Avshalom. Avishalom. The Gemara says in Yuma, and the Pasuk, what do you mean, Shem Yishan Yirka? The Gemara says, Lo Maskin on Bishmayu. That you're not permitted, whenever you mention the name of a Rosh, you have to say Yimach Shemot.
or something like that. You're not allowed to praise, for sure you're not allowed to praise a Russia, even if he's not no longer alive. You're not allowed to praise a Russia. Well, not only not a lot of praise in, let's say there was a person who was in Russia, his name happened to be Moshe. I'm not permitted to name my child Moshe because there was someone who was in Russia, his name was Moshe. I named my child, it's my grandfather, his name was Moshe. But it's got to do with it. But let's say this guy's name was Yukosio Azrio. It's not a funny name. It's a combination of names, such an unusual name. Someone should name his child with that name, such a combination of names. Someone should be naming after him. Well, let's say someone today, you say Adolf, but right away it brings to mind, Adolf Hitler. That's right away. I know many Jews. I don't remember that. Many Jews with the name Adolf. But if you look in the whole world, the name Adolf right away rings a bell and it sounds like Adolf Hitler. But the name of child today, Adolf. And the Jews in Germany gave the children the name Adolf. It's a nice German name. But today a person should give the name Adolf. Somebody should give the name Adolf. Almost. Something like that. Forgive the name. Not allowed to. Remember in Tannersville, there was a funny Balabas in Tannersville who had a daughter, and he named his daughter Asalia. After Asalia in Tehran, she was a murderer. He named his daughter Asalia Ijut. He said Ijut was a French classical. That's a shame. How can you give an name Ishmael? If Ishmael was in Russia, that's the answer, that he did children.
Right.
Rashi quotes it in the Russian that he did children.
Nimrod is here.
What happened to
Nimrod is
very much there. Move the pen. That's what they say over on the city. It says that the Shmuel Levin, the Shmuel Levin, is a turn of Russian plan. So they say that, I think they say it about the Rebbe of Yerushin Ebershit, no? When he was a little boy, so they wanted to read in a shidda. So he lived far away from the community where the girl's family was from. So they made up to go meet at a midpoint. And they made up to go meet in a shul in a midpoint. So when they came to that place, a few people came from the other community. So the first thing they asked him was, if you really so bright little boy, tell me which one of the prospective father was. So he looked at them and he picked up one and he says, it must be him because I don't like him already. He said, that's right. That's right. He was always very sharp. I mean, he was always very sharp. But then they said he should say a Stikl Torah. That's a big Balmachad. He should say a Stikl Torah. So the shul was just a shul. It didn't have any Gemara. So he said, open up the Siddur to any page and I'll tell you a Stikl Torah. And then he said, he did the Siddur. So he said, he opened up to that page where he said, Rabbi Shmuel Levin, Rabbi Shmuel Shesmidus, I turned the judges then. Then he started to say Tarana. So he said, your Kasha. He said, first of all, the Kasha, how can you give a baby a name Yishmael? If Yishmael says a new one, I'm going to have to name a name a baby with a name. Yishmael is an unusual name. Tanakh, only one person had a name Yishmael. He was in Russia. How can you give a name Yishmael to this child? And then he said, furthermore, it always bothered him. If it says, Omer Rabbi Shmuel, it means a new member. Rabbi Shmuel means that he disagrees with the previous time. But there is a previous time. That's the first opening line in the first Kahane. It's true. I'm the Yikra Sata, Rabbi Shmuel Leiman, the Shlosh Yisrael, the Kahane, the Rajah Sata. Why does it say Rabbi Shmuel Leiman? That's the whole time in the Mishnah. If it says, Omer Rabbi Kiva, it's a new member. It says, Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he disagrees with the previous time. What's the story of Rabbi Shmuel Leiman? What does it say? Omer Rabbi Shmuel, the Shlosh Yisrael, not disagreeing with anything that anybody else said before. And he said, the answer is, based on the Gemara and then he had another question. The other question was, how do you know some of the Midas are Klal of Prat, Prat, Klal, Klal of Prat, Klal? They said, how do you know that it's a Klal of Prat? If you have a Klal, they move them on Yucha Batero, then maybe it's really a Prat, Klal. How do you know that it's a Prat, Klal? Maybe it's really a Prat, Klal. So he said, the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara asked that question, I'm talking, I'm about to vote, no? I'm about to die, I vote. The Gemara says, no, when you say, move them on Yucha Batero, one parish as opposed to another. He said the opening Sedra in Bamidbar really happened after the story that's described in the Halakha. Rashi explained what happened. Halakha was before, and Bamidbar Nasa was later. Things in the Chumash are out of order. But if you have a Chodor Yana in one Parsha, Tzuchah and Stumah is one Parsha, not Parsha, it's Bereshit Parsha. That means in between one Tzuchah and another Tzuchah or Stumah, one paragraph in the Chumash, you don't say, hey, look at me, look about that, but everything is going to be out of order. Everything in one Parsha will be in order. They must be late, and they have to be married too. How can you declare that something is a Klal of Prat or a Prat of Klal? So what's our case? Maybe the Klal of Prat is really a Prat of Klal. So he said that's the shot on the first beginning of Bereshit. It says that when Aaron Avinu died, but Yitzchak also Yitzchak and Yishmael Bono. So Rashi quotes him in Enish Mikant, and Yitzchak could be the Rashi, also Yishmael Shuva. And when they went to the Levayah, so Yishmael was Mechabit Yitzchak, so he should go first in the procession. Otherwise Yishmael would go first, and the same thing was over. He's not 14 years old, he wasn't a Yitzchak. In fact, it's in the Ikros and Yitzchok, Yishmael Banal, and the Mordechai Lachel shows that Yishmael did truly mean his Mechab and Yitzchok properly. So that's what the Rebbe Rav Yerushin said as a child. How does Rashi know for the Medrash? How does the Medrash know that he did Shuga? Maybe just saying, look to the Miyuchel about there. Maybe really Yishmael went first. And if I said Mechumish, I thought to Yitzchok, Yishmael Banal, then look to the Miyuchel about there. So the Teretz must be because the Chodri Yano, in one parasha, one part is Yon Chayim, look to the Miyuchel about there. So he says, that's how the Chachonim knew that Yishmael did Shuga. And that's why you're permitted to give the name Yishmael to a child because in such Yom of Yitzchuga. And that's why he says Rabbi Yishmael Omer. It doesn't say Omer Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, the fact that he gave the name Yishmael to this baby, that itself Omer. That itself teaches us that you can only leave a Satan as a man. That there's such a thing as Kral of Prat, it's not a Kral, a Kral of Prat, a Kral. That if they wouldn't have given the name Yishmael, then you would say that they moved the Mughal about there even at one point. That was a stick of fear. He didn't marry the girl. Tell such a similar story about the Avnei Nezer also. That when he was very young, he was so bright that they all wanted him for a son-in-law. They all wanted him to marry his daughter. So he met the girl's father, whoever the girl's father was. He met a girl's father, and the girl's father didn't have hair. He spoke and learning, and he said, "You know, this is Kabbalistic. Avnei Nezer was a genius." And then at this month or two later, they met again, and the father-in-law, the prospective father-in-law, fahed him again a second time. Yes, they fahed him a second time, so this little boy, the Avnei Nezer said, "I want to fahed you." So he said, "What do you mean I want to fahed you?" So it's a minigame that the prospective father-in-law fahed the prospective son-in-law, not the son-in-law. So the Avnei Nezer, as the child said, "We wrote in the Dachshver, why do you only fahed the prospective son-in-law? Why? Because the Gemara says, well, we need to have him call Mashi Eshlo. You have to beat over Talmud Chacham. You have to see to it that you marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham." But the Gemara says the same thing. You always have to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. So why do the Minikar and the Yoli Fahir, the prospective son-in-law, to see if he's a Talmud Chacham? The prospective son-in-law should pay the prospective son-in-law to see if he's married by Talmud Chacham. There it is, the Rifa Lozachan Yushver. The Rifa had you 25 years ago, or 20 years ago. I'm a Shtot Lechap Lechazok. You must have had you got married. I'm a son, he didn't forget. But if you don't follow the Lechazok, you had you last month. The Dibre Chaim was the perspective Shler, right? And he thought, and he said, very sharp little Yingale, but a little too sharp, and he said he's not going to let him marry his daughter. And later, when he married, he got scared of his daughter and became the great man that he was. Then he had Charata, no? Then they said that he had Charata, why he didn't let him marry his daughter. All kinds of stories, yeah? I think there's a psucha in between. This Tosfos has an important comment. The Rambam has a lot of it. There's not a psucha psucha. Tosfos points out that in this parsha, the stories are out of order. That's all. I don't know. It just has a new pocket and a shishi. I don't know. That's a good discussion. And there it says, well, the Bereshit starts a new parasha, this Tuma. And then it goes to quite a few psukim. The Tosfos says it started from Pasuk Zion on, happened before. The first six psukim, the Tosfos says, well, happened after what happened there. The whole Tosfos says, well, is one parasha. There's a Tuma at the beginning, and there's a Tuma at the end of the Tosfos Zion. And Tosfos says the first six psukim happened after the last 20 psukim. And there's not so much similar to this one. Right, that's the basic point I'm here, and I know. But you have to say that this is out of order, right? I don't know, is that good to kasha? There, I'm good to kasha. So Tosfos and Yuma is bothered with this kasha of Shalva and goes down in Tanakh as a biblical figure as a Russia, he revolted against his father. So how can you have the name of Shimon ben Avshalom? So he says, not Shimon ben Avshalom, Shimon ben Avishalom. But this is it. That's why he says on the name here, Shimon ben Avishalom, I intend to assume it's Aflam et Cheson of Beis. But otherwise, the Gemara says there, Lai Mas Kenet Bishmai. They think Shubha says, other names also like that. There are different names in the Gemara that sound similar to names of Rishayim and Tanakh, but it's never good. You have a Yud stuck in it, hey, or something like that, some slight Kenet, it's really a different name. It's not the same name. This is a big issue today. Is there a mitzvah to fight with the reform and to insult them and to disgrace them publicly? Or is it an avera? Or is it permissible? That's a big issue. You're permitted to start up with the Rishon means to insult them. The people who don't keep the Torah, the people who have gone away from the Torah, will praise the Russia. However, Shomer Torah, they should say, will not praise the Russia. No, but it says more than that. He's Gorobom. They'll insult them. They'll pick on them, and they'll insult them. That doesn't mean he's Gorobom. They'll try to get him to shake a lulav and in order to accomplish what's necessary, is permitted to curse, is permitted to beat a person up, is permitted to confiscate property, to destroy property. He insulted them and he screamed and he ripped at the goddamn and so on. He was swearing and cursing. But that's in order to accomplish some result. The Shliach Bezdin is permitted to do it. Then in one says, what if I was never appointed as the Shliach Bezdin? But I see that someone is doing an Aveira. He's doing an Aveira right now. And then I go call up the Bezdin until the Bezdin's going to come. He will have already finished doing the Aveira. But the guy's about to eat a ham sandwich. So I give him wood stuff. Don't eat it. I talk to him very so far. He's going to eat it. But if I knock him, I slap him, or I'll take it away and I'll throw it in the garbage or something, they'll prevent it from doing the Aveira. The Gemara says, even though I was never appointed by the Bezin as a Shliach Bezin, the Gemara says, that if someone is doing an Aveira, someone has a Shaila, you have the right to take the law into your own hands. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't occur. You have to go to Bezin and say, I know that you owe me money, you didn't pay. So I come in and I shock you in the face and I take the money. The Gemara says, no, that's what it doesn't tell you. You have to go to Bezin and pay. So the Gemara says, what happens is you're coming, I have a well with water, and a guy comes and he's taking all the water. I've got to go to Bezin, until the Bezin's going to come, he's going to use all the water. So I won't have any water to water my field, but to give the water to the bank, he could say that I'm going to be a trader.
Where is the pond upon me?
Yes, if the Gemara says you can hit it 100 times, the Gemara says you have a right to hit. Why? Not just the other Kishliach Bezin. It's not the Kishliach Yasu. Since you can, it's not right to say, let's wait till the Bezin's going to come and let them take care of it. So the Gemara says, not just the other Kishliach Bezin. I have the right to act. This Bezin had appointed me as a Shliach, and I have all the Hesed of Shliach Bezin. I can beat the guy up, I can scream, and I can curse, and I can destroy his property. Wantedly, means for the sake of preventing him from causing me a Hesed. The Gemara says, Lord, in Ami, that everybody agrees, La Fushin and Yisura, to prevent someone from doing an Aveira. The Gemara says, I have a right to beat him up. The Gemara gives a muscle, so Aveira has nothing to do with me. It's a had, and if it is read, the Gemara gives a case. And then it comes Shesha, it comes Yoichel, and everybody goes free, and he's so in love with the Shikha Shanis, he doesn't want to walk away from her. So the Gemara says, I can beat him up in order to take her that he doesn't live with the Shikha Shanis, because Lachush and Yisura, the Dina is the Rabbi Dina is the Dina Hashem, because now it's here to Kishmiya Bez, and the right to act like a Shikha Bez. Yes, but if you throw stones, and you know that this will help to prevent these people from being Mechal HaShavim. I don't think anybody stops driving their car because if somebody stops driving their car there, a lot of them don't even stop driving over there. But if you think that by throwing stones they'll stop doing that very risk, that's what Rishon needs to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. But if not, we have to prepare the songs in advance. No, but the mice, when they throw the stones, they don't get the people to be Shomer Shabbos. They're going to continue to do the Chol Shabbos. They'll just not drive their cars over here. So that's not what Rishon needs to do. But you have no right. There's blood on Easter from Mazik and Chayvel. And you know, you're harassing the other person, you're not allowed. Mazan means that even though the reform outnumber the Orthodox, still it's a Muslim and his guys were showing with Manazah, even so. But it doesn't say that, it's Baila Mazah. What's that much Baila Mazah? Baila Mazah. What's it saying? So, first thing we're talking about Baila Mazah. Baila Mazah, the no Rishon, what do you mean start up at the Rishon Baila Mazah? They're there, because they're not Rishon. Baila
That
it's permissible to harass an Adam Rasha or Baram. What kind of a din is that? The Gemara in Bava Metzi learns that from a pasuk. We learn that from a pasuk that says, Mosanu Ishus Amitza. It says twice in the end of Ayikha, Mosanu Ishus Amitza. So the Gemara does say twice. The first one goes on a Nilf Mammon, the Allah is seeking business, to overcharge his thoughts. And the second one is, I know it's wrong, to annoy, to harass someone, to play a fact. So the joke on someone, that's what I know it's wrong. If you go in the elevator, you push all the buttons and you run out. That's how you know it's wrong. The world's wrong doesn't only mean I call them, you got this planet, you got this planet, you yekki, you know. The monkey gives a marshal, you call them, from a sefer harishayim, you're a bal shuvah, you come from a big background, don't tell me. It's one kind of a world's wrong. This world, the social work. There is another, I know it's wrong. I know. I know it doesn't have to be that thing. I know it's wrong. I know I did my share. It certainly, I know it means to harass someone or to annoy someone. I don't mean to harass them to be safe with words. To annoy them in any other way is also an issue of I know it's wrong. So the Gemara comments on the pasuk, the son of Ishus Amisoi, that's only limited to one who is Amiso. If the person is a religious Jew. So if he's not a religious Jew, if they're not a Russian, then there's no Isra of Anyaz Rosh. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaZor. So based on that, the Gemara comments here, Shami Tami, Zorobom, that it's mutter for the religious Jews to harass the needle, the non-observant Jews. Anyaz Cheses is not permitted into a good. Anyaz Roman is not permitted by good. Right, but Anyaz Varim is Luther.
Doesn't it say that about Misa in both cases?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember. But the more only dashing is with Gabi Anyaz Varim. Gabi Anyaz Roman not. It's not permitted by Anyaz. But the Gabi Anyaz Varim, not to harass someone, so that issue is limited back to Shami Tami. What about in his personal life, to give him a hard time? The Gemara is going to have different opinions about that, the Hemshech, the next couple of lines. The Gemara is going to discuss. The Ibn Chashach, or Adam Levin, if anybody will raise an issue, he will have to see the church, and the prophet don't start up with the wicked people. I'll see if Chapa Mary, Malkit, anybody say, Abla, don't start up with them. Let them do whatever they want. Mind your own business. Leave them alone. And lo and lo, tell such a person who raises this issue based on the prophet and Tillim, that the devil also is quoting scriptures. But that's not what that pasuk means. You're misinterpreting the pasuk. And Mola Mishaliva, no sign of change. One who has a weak heart because Rabbeinu should be other, Rashi says, Rima not Machin Saberu should be other, he says that. That's not the correct interpretation. Atischa Bamarein means here is Kamarein. Atischa, Itcharu means competition. Don't compete. Don't compete with the Nishoim. Doesn't mean don't start up with them, don't harass them. No, it means don't compete with them to do evil like they do. Don't try to do. This guy is cheating on his income tax. This guy, so I say, what am I such a guy that I pay so much tax for? Let me do the same thing as him. I'll also be a rich man. And he cheats in business and he gets so rich. So I'll also do the same thing. So the prophet says, no, I'll just cut him rich. Don't compete with the evil people. If you see that they're getting it by doing what they're doing, don't do the same as they do. You do the right thing and forget about them. I'll be kind of place I'll you have to have a don't compete with them. Don't be jealous of them. Hey, they're getting away with it. I'll also do what they're away. Don't try to make such a hush. And similar to that is the other person. Remember, another person is like, can't admit for the Hashem. Don't be jealous of the people who sin and are rushing to tell them, look, you're a Hashem calling out, forget about that, mind your own business. That's what it means, mind your own business. Don't run the legal way from that. But it doesn't mean, don't start up with them. There's no silver his guard, but another. Beg my kashi, but it's not so any. You're not allowed to start up on Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak's not a Baal there. Rav Yitzchak says, and reads the Rosh Hashem, if you have a Rosh who is successful, do not start up with the mouth is Zorabo, don't start up Shenema, Yechilu Derecha, Bechole, he will always be successful. Rashi says, Yechilu Yatzlichu. He will be successful. All right, Allah Shezecha Bidin, if you will, of course, regardless in Torah, he will win. And all the laws in the world won't be able to prevent him from winning Shenema. Marom Yishpatech Minegda, when it comes to an Adam Rasha who is succeeding, all the Rebbeinu Shlom's judgments and everything will be so far away, they won't be chal on him. They'll be chal on other people. They won't be chal on the Rasha who is Hashem Mitzachek Yitzlo. But no, not only that, but the Shereya Bitzorah, he will succeed against all of his enemies. He will see the way the Rasha will see the way his enemies lose against him. The Tzaddikim will lose, whoever starts up with him will lose. Shenema, Chol Tzor Rav Yafich Behem, he'll blow. The Rasha will blow with his enemies and he will win against them. So you see from these series of Tzukim and Tzilin, that you're not supposed to start up with a Rosh Hashanah Mitzachek Yitzlo Rosh. So it's like, Rosh, so how come you're telling me that there's nothing wrong? So I'm being more like Kasha, if he says, what are you starting up with him? How many of the day? How many of the Shema? Like a new brother. Mm-hmm. If I start picking on him, plus, why does this? Why does that? So that's not Rosh, you're not supposed to start up with him. But if you're going to pick on him, you are a reformed Jew and you do this and you do that, and you pick on him, and he was a Shmaya, that's the previous system that is moved over his garments to the Shah.
And it is picking him because he doesn't know the Shulah.
If you stand a chance, then you have to. That's the chiyuv of hachayach. But this Gemara seems to imply even if you don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
The mitzvah of Tachaka certainly applies to the mazal of the person if you think you're going to get somewhere. But this Gemara seems to be saying even if you think you're not going to get anywhere, it's still mutum is garez lushan. There's no reason to be megarez, to be mazal din. I see this reform Jew absolutely not going to change. There's no chance in the world that I'm going to change it. But still the Gemara implies that it's mutum is garez and lila dishmaya. You're committed to insulting the religious man. You're not going to get anywhere with it. Not that you're preventing other people from, after being about the end of Tatlai, in order to prevent other people from negating him. That's also part of the dinner of Hafa Zayar. We're not talking about that. Just to be about the end of Tatlai.
They don't have debates with him?
No.
I mean,
what do you debate?
They're not to be about it. They're not to show him off.
Yeah.
Show him as well.
Is that having him arrested?
They don't look at him.
This is why we're talking about being the vase of the Rosh. So we're talking about there's no reason to be the vase of the Rosh and maybe the Shema. The boy, you say that if you want, you can say a different territory in the spirit, have a hobby, the Shema. We're both talking about maybe the Shema. Sometimes you're not permitted to be the vase of the Rosh, even a little bit of Shema, but like Kasha, what's the chilek? Maybe the Rosh and he seems to be getting away with everything. That's the Yoytim and Akkadah Rabbi Yitzchok said that you shouldn't start up with him. Rishon Rosh is Shashon Mitzachek Yisrael. But if you're not Mitzachek Yisrael, that's another Rosh. You don't see that it's succeeding or not. You don't see one way or the other. You don't see that he has such a massive success rate. So then, it's Mutum and Zor. The way you say, well, another answer would be, Hold the Rosh is Shashon Mitzachek Yisrael, the way you cash it. Hold the Tarigom, have the Tarigom, and say, who are you? What Madrega you are? If you are a Tarigom or... Then you have a answer to start up to be in the Bible. If you yourself are not such a tzaddik gomor, then you shouldn't start up with him. Yomar Abun and I, this is Lama Tabit Rogi. We complain to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Dabar Amal complains to him. Who is this? Or the Novi complains. Lama Tabit Rogi in Tachrish, the Vela Rosh of Tzaddik Meni. He complains to the Rebbeinu Shlom about Tzaddik Rala Rosh of Tzaddik. All the Rebbeinu complain. So he says, Rebbeinu Shlom, why do you stand by when the Rosh swallows up the Tzaddik? But he doesn't say that. When the Rosh swallows up, the one who's a little more observant than he is, doesn't say that he swallows up the Tzaddik. Why? So the Gemara comes and if the Rosh is a Leah Tzaddik, is there such a thing that the Rosh succeeds in harming the Tzaddik or Siv Hashem Leah Ben Viyadai, the Leah Hashem Leah Yishof, the Hashem Leah Yishof, the Rosh will never let the Tzaddik move after the Rosh. Ela the answer is, the Siv Leah Yishof, the Tzaddik Halam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the Tzaddik, Ela the answer is Tzaddik Mele Baleah. Tzaddik Lomar Ein Baleah. A real Tzaddik Gomor, the Rosh will not have any shmit over. But the non-Tzaddik Gomor, Tzaddik Nenu. The Zeyla Rosh, Tzaddik Nenu. The Rosh will swallow up the one who's a little more observant than he is. So that's what I suggested. Levi's statement. If you yourself are a Tzaddik, you know that you are a Tzaddik Gomor, so then you're permitted to start up with him, because he will never be able to pop you over the head. You won't walk out losing from this fight, from the debate. But if you yourself are not such a Tzaddik Gomor, then you shouldn't start up, because you may turn out to lose. The boy is saying that he must have shown the Tzachek is loy shiny.
Why?
That's what we just said before. If you see that it's shown the Tzachek is loy, the Zerah was made an exception to the rule.
But why?
You see that when Hashemayim, at the beginning, this fellow is looking at special treatment, yeah? That's what they write on the side to look at the Marshal, and all of them have a difficult time. What do you mean shown the Tzachek is loy? We just said before shown the Tzachek is loy shiny. So I didn't see it again the same way. What? Even the Gomer. Could be. Or even the middle of the day. Some of everyone say. Or even the same Shamas Achekis, like something that we said before is not correct. So what? Either even a Tzadik Gomer should start up with the Shamas Achekis one, or even the middle of the day, if it is
not middle of the
even if it's not middle of the day, no homo. Even if it is, it's not middle of the day, 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 it's not middle the other thing is the sages discussed, this is an important halacha, this is very important today. How should the Orthodox speak to the Reform to the best? Maybe next time, maybe we'll have to discuss a little bit. Later on in Brochus, the Gemara has a comment on the Pesach and Lamed Aleph on the day. There were comments on the Pesach in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, when Penina had all the children, Hannah had no children, so she was davening in the Mishkan Shiloh to have a baby. So then she had Aiden thought she was sick, and then she had a baby, Shmuel. And then she came to the Beit HaMikdash and she says, Anachi yo isha hani tzeve simcha bazeh, ala ma'arza yitzalot, and this is my baby. So the prophet tells, Anachi yo isha hani tzeve simcha bazeh, ayin nem chofei. Simcha, is ayin nem chofei, a strange spelling. But if more comments on that passage, why does it say Yimcha? That for this passage we derive Amihu Isha, not a verse. Amihu Isha and his service Yimcha. But the Amr of Shulman Leib and Mikaran, from this passage we derive Shoshu Meishu, the first Dalaram is Shoshu. That you're not allowed to sit within Dalaram until somebody has done it. Where does it say that in the passage? The Tosha's comments on that. Yimcha, 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 Lamed Aleph on the days. In Yiddish should have been spelled Yimcha, Ayin Mem Chof. How come it's spelled Yimcha, Ayin Mem, Chof, Hey? That Imcha means that you were sitting Terechei Amis. Imcha. Terechei Amis is Mutter. But if it would have been Terechei Amis, it would have been also for you to sit because I was there, I was standing in Davin. That's how the Taisus Darshan, that's how Taisus interprets of Bishuva Levi is Darshaning the first. So in today's Devrit is also such a drosha that the Medrash has a similar. And then Ashash tells too this drosha on Lamed Aleph. The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw this man, it says, Asura no beres, amara hagalo zem, adua la yuva esmer. So what does it say, Asura? That's saying, Asur, the era. The letter says that it was 5 amas away. So they ask, where do you see? Because there's one gear to 8 amas away. Where do you see 8 amas away? So they say, no, that's the kind of size it should say 5 amas away. Where do you see 5 amas? Because it says, Asura. Asur, hey, let me walk, 5 amas away. In other words, he's more than down amas away from the place where the Hashurat Hashkina was. So he said, also, hey, let me walk over here 5 amas and see. This is a Dinda Raisa. This halacha is a Dinda Raisa. There's a fascinating Mishnah at the end of the Megoy, where the Mishnah says that a Mitzorah is Hukish Lameis, because when Miriam had the Negatarat at the end of Parashat Balos, it says, Alpina Kameis, should we say from the Rechmena, or Yochel Hashim, so Alpina Kameis, Mikan, so Mitzorah Hukish Lameis. The Negat of that is Mitzorah Hukish Lameis. So the Gemara has granted brachas later on, in the second sentence that ain't brachas. But just like a mace is Matami Bo'ohel, so also Mitzorah is also Matami Bo'ohel. But the Gemara says from the Mishnais in the Gemara that it's not exactly the same. A mace is Matami Bo'ohel. If there's a mace, let's say, in a room all the way down there, and this room is open to another room, open to another room, open to another room. So all the people in all the rooms are all coming. But even if you just have a window that's open, a tabachatana, so the tumor goes to the window. But by a Mitzorah, it's not so. If the Mitzorah is in one room, and I'm in the other room, and there's a window, so the tumor doesn't go through. Even if, let's say, the Mitzorah is in the women's section of the shul, and I'm in the men's section, and the wall doesn't even go up to the mechitza doesn't go up to the wall, it's just a mechitza. It separates a little bit, not such a full mechitza, doesn't go to the top. Still, the Mishnah says that it's okay. So the Mishnah has, if the Mitzorah wants to daven in shul, so they should make a mechitza. They should make a mechitza. And the Mitzvah should daven on that side of the Mechitza, and everybody else should daven on the other side of the Mechitza. So the Mishnah says that you have to be careful that the area that's separated because of that Mechitza should be more than Dalar Amis of Dalar Amis. Because it's going to be less than Dalar Amis of Dalar Amis, but then when he's going to daven, his Mokum field will include part of the other area, the Taitachmish. Despite the Mechitza. That when you daven at the commercial Tzilo, it's already a Dinda Raisin. Sounds like a Dinda Raisin in Mishnah. But the Makam of Tzila is Davar Amis. So if he's going to daven, if the area that is there is separating for him is so tiny, so his Makam Tzila is over there, so his bite is going to be two over there. The family over here also, Moshe Rabbeinu was approaching this nest, and he must have realized that this is a Makam Tzila over here, Makam Kedusha, And it says, Merucha is Dalar Amit away from Oyla Mazet. He says he has to come close. So then he hears a voice from heaven, and he tells him he has to take off the shoes. Kosher Shah. Shah Lu Amit. Not his shoes, not Kosher Shah. Someone said, he's gruff. He didn't say that. I would say the alecha means the shoes and the gloves. The kosher shah. He was told to take off his shoes. Shalvi alecha and alav. Alecha tell machu shata in the alav. Had mas kodesh. So the medrash points out the Rambam goes to the medrash Moshe Rabbah in this chazik that it's not only by Moshe Rabbeinu on this occasion, it's by Yeshua ben Nun also. When the Malach appeared to Yeshua ben Nun outside of Yericho, and he didn't even. He thought it was a Shabbat, so he didn't know what, it was a Shabbat Hashem. He told him also, I'm also in my Shabbat, I'm also in my Kurdish. He told him also, Shalom Alpami Allah, let's take off his shoe. And then the letters continued, and the same is true, the Kohanim and the Mesa Migdash, and I'm about to go for a minute. The Kohanim and the Mesa Migdash have to go barefoot because they're standing on a Malkam Kurdish. So some point out, why is there a discrepancy between Moshe Rabbeinu, the man who doesn't tell himself. Why by Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Shalom Alech, Allah Shalom Rabbeinu, the both shoes that you take off. Then how about Yeshua, that says Shalom Alechami Allah, it sounds like Loshim Yochid. You can only take off one shoe, not taking off both shoes. Discrepancy over here. So Chaim Alojah talks to Nefesh Lechaim about this a little bit. What's the idea of taking off the shoes? Somehow he says, taking off the shoes implies that you take off, there's all the protection, all the doctrines of the protection that people have. But the person is supposed to devote himself, if the person is in the presence of the Shechina, the Malkam Kodesh, supposed to devote everything to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, not supposed to have anything personal. So some point out that this was talking a major discrepancy between Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to Yeshua ben Nun. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we see, by hearing Moshe min ha'har alam, Moshe Rabbeinu is min ha'har alam, everything, he wasn't kind of last up, he didn't do anything to himself. And he did all of the tivuim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it was detrimental to him. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzororot HaMidyanim Hikis Moshe Machat Yosef HaManachim. The last thing you do in your life is to wage war against Midian, and then you're going to die. And Zidon HaGidon HaMitzvah, he runs to wage the war. He knows he's going to die right after the war is over. So one would have thought, he can take his time.
Yeah, he has
a lot of time to take care of this mitzvah. No. The Rebbeinu Chaim gave mitzvah, he wants to do the mitzvah. And what did Yeshua ben Nun do? What did Yeshua ben Nun do? So the Malbim quotes on Sefer Yeshua, and beginning of Perek Yudim, on Sefer Yeshua, the Malbim quotes a medrash that has an interesting comment. Yeshua zokein bo bayam, bayam Hashem eilov, ato zakan to bosa bayam, you're an old man. So ha'aris yishara harbe miyoid levishto. Lots and lots of Eretz Yisrael was still left behind that you haven't yet conquered. So the Malbim comments, why did he use the Lashon yishara? Why doesn't it say Neustro? The Malbim has a lot of times on Seamus Nezofman, on words that seem to be very similar, what the difference is. So he says that Neustro means left over. Yeshua means that it sounds like you left it out on purpose. So he quotes a medrash that Yeshua had, which Rabbeinu was told, that right after Mohammed's Nigin is going to die, Hakat Yosam, that Yeshua wasn't told anything. But he's speaking on his own, the stone of my mission is to conquer all these dogs in the summer. If I'll take my time, I'll be there for Tariqat Yonah. So he took his time and he wasn't so interested in conquering everything so fast. He figured, maybe that's my mission in life and that's how I'll finish conquering, I'll die. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo is complaining to him and he says, Horace, Mishra Havimir, you left out so much that you didn't conquer on purpose. You left it out intentionally. So you see that there is a big difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun didn't really have a full response to Sagashmir. He didn't give up everything. He didn't give up all of his personal interests and his personal life in order to do the mitzvah of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Moshe Rabbeinu gave up everything, even to the extent of hating his own death. So some of the first might say that that's perhaps the reason for this discrepancy. Why, for his brother, when he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Malach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he should take off his shoes, he knew he was going to listen, so he told him to take off both shoes. Shalom Alecha, both shoes. He's taking off a full response to Sagashim, giving everything away to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's why it says that Moshe was Eved Hashem. The Radak writes on Sefer Yeshua, why is he called Eved Hashem? So he called Moshe Kan Eved Kan Arab. The Eved has nothing to himself. And can you Eved Arab? Everything Moshe Rabbeinu had, he gave over to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to Yeshua, Moshe Abdi Meis, implying Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eved. You're not such an Eved. Yeshua ben Nun wasn't called Moshe Kan Eved Kan Arab. And can you Eved Arab? Yeshua ben Nun helps himself a little bit. But that's why you find that over there, just that shall now come the hour of the only one shoe, you didn't give everything away. That's the difference. Yeah.